A hand-drawn Seattle skyline appears against a black background. The scribble marks vanish, revealing the true city on a sunny, cloudless day. A title appears, 10 Things I Hate About You. A bird's-eye view of the city transitions to a seemingly endless body of water beside it. Lush green trees come into view. In a small park near suburban homes that overlook the city, people sit on benches and stroll along the sidewalk. A man walks his dog and a skateboarder cruises along the sidewalk. A small blue car with the top down drives through the neighborhood street. The car comes to a stop, revealing four high school-aged girls bobbing their head to their music. A red beat-up car missing paint on the roof pulls up next to them. The driver, a blonde-haired girl, turns her head and stares at them. The girls in the blue car avert their eyes. The driver raises her brows, rolling her eyes. The blonde-haired girl continues staring and then looks away. She zooms off, leaving the blue car behind her. Elsewhere, a group of guys play roller hockey within the tight confines of a crowded courtyard. Some people sit at tables. Students mill about the large courtyard at the entrance of a towering brick building. Spires touch the sky at the top of the castle-like structure. The blonde-haired girl walks up to a poster at the building entrance reading Padua Prom. She rips it down. A girl runs up.
Hey!
A nameplate on a desk reads Miss Perky, Guidance Counselor. An uneasy boy sits facing Miss Perky.
I'll be right with you.
The boy nods his head and stares at the ground. Middle-aged Miss Perky smiles and frantically types on her laptop. She types a steamy romance novel-style sentence. She shuts her laptop.
So, Cameron, here you go.
A piece of paper.
9 schools in 10 years. My. Army brat?
Yeah, my dad is,
That's enough.
Cameron stares.
I'm sure you won't find Padua any different than your old schools.
Food hits the window.
Same little ass wipe shit for brains everywhere.
Excuse me? Did you just say...
Cameron looks around.
Am I in the right office?
Not anymore, you're not. I've got deviants to see and a novel to finish. Now scoot. Scoot!
Okay.
He backs away.
Thanks.
As Cameron backs into a coat rack, a tall, long-haired guy faces him in the doorway.
Patrick Verona. I see we're making our visits a weekly ritual.
Only so we can have these moments together. Should I hit the lights?
Oh, very clever, kangaroo boy. It says here you exposed yourself in the cafeteria.
I was joking with the lunch lady. It was a bratwurst.
Bratwurst?
She looks down.
Aren't we the optimist?
She raises her gaze and smiles. Patrick furrows his brow.
Next time, keep it in your pouch. Okay. Scoot!
Patrick walks off. Miss Perky sits at her desk, opens her laptop, and changes the word member to bratwurst. Meanwhile, in the hallway.
Hello, Michael Ekman. I'm supposed to show you around.
Oh, hi. Thank God. You know, normally they send down one of those audio-visual geeks.
No, I do. I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Hey, Michael, where should I put the slides?
Michael? So, Cameron, here's the breakdown. Over there, we've got your basic, beautiful people. Now listen, unless they talk to you first, don't bother.
Well, wait, is that your rule or theirs?
Watch. Hey there.
Eat me.
You see that?
A jock glares at them.
To the left, we have the coffee kids.
Oh, that was Costa Rican, butthead.
Very edgy. Don't make any sudden movements around them. These delusionals are your white Rastas. They're big Marley fans. They think they're black. Semi-political, but mostly...
Smoke a lot of weed?
Yeah. These guys...
Wait, let me guess. Cowboys?
Yeah, but the closest they've come to a cow is McDonald's.
A cowboy tries to lasso a trash can.
These are your future MBAs. We're all Ivy League accepted. Yuppie Greed is back, my friend. Hey, guys, how you doing?
Close it, Boogie.
A student wearing a tie shuts his laptop.
Yesterday, I was their god.
What happened?
Boogie Lowenstein started a rumor that I buy my IZOD's at an outlet mall.
So they kicked you out?
I'll still take over, but don't worry. He'll pay. Now, over here.
Oh, my God.
Cameron stops and stares agape at an approaching pretty girl in a sundress. She doesn't notice him as she meets with another girl.
What group is she in?
The Don't Even Think About It group. Bianca Stratford, she's a sophomore.
I burn, I pine, I perish.
Of course you do. You know, she's beautiful and deep, I'm sure.
They follow her.
Yeah, but see, there's a difference between like and love. Because I like my Skechers,
But I love my Prada backpack.
But I love my Skechers.
That's because you don't have a Prada backpack.
Oh.
Bianca and her friend walk off.
Listen, forget her incredibly uptight father, and it's a widely known fact that the Stratford sisters aren't allowed to date.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Whatever.
Cameron keeps his gaze on Bianca. Michael looks unamused. Later, in a classroom, students, including a cowboy and Rastas, sit at their desks.
Okay, then. What did everyone think of The Sun Also Rises?
I loved it. He's so romantic.
Romantic? Hemingway? He was an abusive alcoholic misogynist who squandered half his life hanging around Picasso trying to nail his leftovers.
As opposed to a bitter, self-righteous hag who has no friends?
The blonde-haired girl glares at the job.
Pipe down, Chachi!
I guess in this society, being male and an asshole makes you worthy of our time. What about Sylvia Plath, or Charlotte Bronte, or Simone de Beauvoir?
Patrick stumbles in.
What did I miss?
The oppressive patriarchal values that dictate our education.
Good.
He walks out.
Hey!
Mr. Morgan, is there any chance we could get Kat to take her Midol before she comes to class?
Kat, the blonde-haired girl, glares.
Someday you're gonna get bitch-slapped, and I'm not gonna do a thing to stop it.
The jock shuts his mouth.
And Kat, I want to thank you for your point of view. I know how difficult it must be for you to overcome all those years of upper-middle-class suburban oppression. Must be tough. But the next time you storm the PTA, crusading for better lunch meat or whatever it is you white girls complain about, ask them why they can't buy a book written by a black man.
That's right, Mom!
Don't even get me started on you two.
The dreadlocked Rastas sink in their seats.
Anything else?
Yeah, go to the office. You're pissing me off.
What? Mr. Morgan?
Later!
Mr. Morgan raises a dismissive arm. Kat rolls her eyes and stands.
What?
She hits the jock as she leaves.
Undulating with desire, Adrian removes her red.
In Miss Perky's office, she continues to write her romantic novel. She removes her glasses and closes her eyes.
Crimson cape. At the sight of Reginald stiff and...
With her eyes still closed, she presses her lips together, nodding her head slightly.
Judith!
Judith walks to Miss Perky's doorway.
What's another word for engorged?
I'll look it up.
Miss Perky blinks, pondering.
Swollen. Turgid.
Cat enters.
Tumescent.
Perfect. So... I hear you were terrorizing Mr. Morgan's class again.
Kat sits down.
Expressing my opinion is not a terrorist action.
The way you expressed your opinion to Bobby Ridgway? By the way, his testicle retrieval operation went quite well, in case you're interested.
I still maintain that he kicked himself in the balls.
The point is, Kat...
Miss Perky raises her cup and points to the cat image on it.
Kat!
Kat raises her eyebrows.
People perceive you as somewhat...
tempestuous?
Heinous bitch is the term used most often.
Kat looks down thoughtfully, then smiles.
You might want to work on that.
Kat stops smiling.
Thank you.
As always, thank you for your excellent guidance.
Kat gets up.
I'll let you get back to Reginald's quivering member.
Miss Perky looks up as Kat walks off.
Quivering member. I like that.
Virgin alert. Favorite.
Outside the high school, the jock and his cohort turn to Bianca and her friend as they walk past them. The guys stare.
Looking good, ladies.
Oh, she's out of reach, even for you.
No one's out of reach for me.
You want to put money on that?
Money I've got. This I'm going to do for fun.
Who's that guy?
It's Joey Donner. He's a jerk-off. And a model.
He's a model?
A model. Mostly regional stuff, but he's rumored to have a big tube sock ad coming out.
Really?
Really.
They stand among a crowd of students. Cameron spots Bianca.
Man, look at her.
Is she always so vapid?
How can you say that? She's totally...
conceited.
What are you talking about? There's more to her than you think. I mean, look at the way she smiles and look at her eyes, man. She's totally pure. You're missing what's there.
No, Cameron, no. What's there is a snotty little princess wearing a strategically planned sundress to make guys like us realize that we can never touch her. And guys like Joey realize that they want to. She, my friend, is what we will spend the rest of our lives not having. Put her in your spank bank, move on.
No.
Move on.
No, you're wrong about her. I mean, you know, not about the spanking part, but the rest. You're wrong.
I'm wrong? You want to take a shot? Be my guest. She's actually looking for a French tutor.
Are you serious? That's perfect.
Do you speak French?
Well, no, but I will.
Later, Joey pulls up to Kat and her friend in his red convertible.
Hey! Your little Rambo look is out, Kat. Didn't you read last month's Cosmo?
Run along.
Kat and her friend shrug him off.
I know you can be overwhelmed, and you can be underwhelmed, but can you ever just be whelmed? I think you can in Europe.
Hi, ladies. You, sweet young things like a ride?
Bianca and her friend exchange a look, then hop into his car.
Be careful on the leather.
The two girls sit on top of the back seat.
That's a charming new development.
It's disgusting.
Michael zooms in front of Kat's car on his moped.
Remove head from sphincter, then drive!
Michael nervously waves and drives over to Cameron as Kat drives off.
You okay?
Yeah. Just a minor encounter with the shrew. It's your girlfriend's sister.
Wait, that's Bianca's sister?
The mewling, rampalian wretch herself. Stay cool, bro.
Yeah, see you later.
Michael rides off. Michael narrowly avoids an oncoming truck and swerves right, careening off a steep embankment towards the football stadium.
My balls! Oh, boy.
Students gather at the top of the cliff and watch. Michael loses control and crashes, rolling to a stop. He stumbles as he tries to regain his footing. He stands up shakily, foliage poking out from his helmet. He looks up at the students and raises his arms.
Yeah, woo!
He turns away from the crowd and his smile disappears. He clutches his stomach, then slips. Later, in a pleasant suburban neighborhood overlooking a vast body of water, a car drives up the street and a boy runs along with his dog on leash. An aerial view shows several two-story homes. Vines crawl up a tree in the yard of an off-white house. A variety of bushy plants and small trees line the perimeter. A bald man walks up to the house with a bundle of mail in hand. Kat sits in the living room reading a book. The book cover reads, The Bell Jar. She sits on a plush, comfortable chair. The bald man steps inside and walks towards Kat as she continues to read.
Hello, Katerina. Make anyone cry today?
Sadly, no. But it's only 4:30.
He smiles.
Hi, Daddy.
Hello, precious.
And where have you been?
Nowhere.
Then what's this? It says Sarah Lawrence.
Kat rips the letter from her dad's grasp. She opens it.
Honey, that's great, but isn't Sarah Lawrence on the other side of the country?
Thus the basis of its appeal.
I thought we decided you were going to stay here and go to school. UW, like me, be a husky.
No, you decided.
Oh, okay, so what, you just pick up and leave, is that it?
Let's hope so.
Ask Bianca who drove her home.
Kat, don't change the drove. Who drove you home?
Now, don't get upset, Daddy, but there's this boy...
Who's a flaming imbecile.
Please.
And I think he might ask me...
Please, I think I know what he's going to ask you. And I think I know the answer. No, it's always no. What are the two house rules? Number one, no dating till you graduate. Number two, no dating till you graduate. That's it.
Daddy, that's so unfair.
All right, you want to know what's unfair? This is for you two. This morning, I delivered a set of twins to a 15-year-old girl. Do you know what she said to me?
I'm a crack whore who should have made my skeezy boyfriend wear a condom?
Their dad ponders Bianca's answer. He nods.
Close. But no. She said, I should have listened to my father.
She did not.
Well, that's what she would have said if she wasn't so doped up.
Can we focus on me for a second, please? I am the only girl in school who's not dating.
Oh, no, you're not. Your sister doesn't date.
And I don't intend to.
And why is that again?
Have you seen the unwashed miscreants that go to that school?
Where did you come from, Planet Loser?
As opposed to Planet... Look at me, look at me.
Okay, here's how we solve this one. Old rule out. New rule. Bianca can date.
Kat's mouth drops open. Bianca smiles.
When she does.
He points to Kat and leaves.
But she's a mutant. What if she never dates?
Then you'll never date. Oh, I like that. And I'll get to sleep at night. The deep slumber of a father whose daughters aren't out being impregnated.
He checks his beeper.
We'll talk about Sarah Lawrence later.
Fine. Oh, wait, Daddy!
I gotta go.
Can't you just find some blind deaf retard to take you to the movie so I can have one date?
I'm sorry. Looks like you'll just have to miss out on the witty repartee of Joey Eat Me Donner.
You suck. You suck.
Later in the school library, Cameron frantically flips through pages of a French language textbook. He mounts out what he's reading as Bianca walks up behind him. She rests her purse and books on the table and sits next to him.
Hi. Can we move this quick? Roxanne, Corinne, and Andrew Jarrett are having an incredibly horrendous public breakup on the quad. Again.
Oh, yeah, okay, I thought that we'd, start with pronunciation, if that's all right with you.
Not the hacking and gagging and spitting part, please.
Well, though there is an alternative.
There is?
Yeah, French food. We could, eat some together, Saturday night.
Cameron looks up at Bianca.
You're asking me out? That's so cute! What's your name again?
Cameron. Listen, I know that your dad doesn't let you date, but I thought that if it was for French class, that...
Oh, wait a minute. Curtis.
Cameron.
My dad just came up with a new rule. I can date when my sister does.
You're kidding. Let me ask you, do you like sailing? Because I read about this place that rents out boats.
A beaucoup problemo, Calvin. No. In case you haven't heard, my sister's a particularly hideous breed of loser.
Yeah, I noticed she's a little, antisocial. Why is that?
Unsolved mystery. She used to be really popular, and then it was like she got sick of it or something. Theories abound as to why, but I'm pretty sure she's just incapable of human interaction. Plus, she's a bitch.
Bianca shrugs.
Well, yeah, but I'm sure, you know, that there are lots of guys who wouldn't mind going out with a difficult woman. I mean, you know, people jump out of airplanes and ski off cliffs. It'd be like extreme dating, huh?
You think you could find someone that extreme?
Yeah, sure, why not?
And you'd do that for me?
Hell yes! I mean, you know, I could look into it.
He looks up, wrinkling his forehead. Now, Cameron and Michael walk outside the school.
Now, I have gathered a group of guys. Couldn't be more perfect. Padua's finest.
They reach a group of guys at the bottom of a staircase.
Hi, how you doing? Would any of you be interested in dating Katarina Stratford?
One laughs. A student stares, emotionless.
Oh, I've never been that ripped.
Maybe if we were the last two people alive, and there were no sheep. Are there sheep?
Inside a biology classroom, diagrams displaying the insides of frogs line the wall.
Did I or did I not tell you it was pointless? No one will go out with her.
Cameron looks at Patrick as he stabs a lifeless frog with his switchblade.
Hey, what about him?
Him? No, don't look at him, okay? He's a criminal. I heard he lit a state trooper on fire. He just did a year in San Quentin.
Yeah, well then at least he's horny.
I'm serious, man, he's whacked. He sold his own liver on the black market for a new set of speakers.
Patrick lights a cigarette using a Bunsen burner. His mohawk-headed friend plucks it from Patrick's mouth and puts it out on the dissecting tray.
He's our guy.
Cameron nods his head. Patrick stares at them. They look away. Patrick flicks at the Bunsen burner flame. Cameron and Michael enter a woodshop class. Cameron sets down his backpack and walks up to Patrick. Michael stays behind.
Hi. How you doing? Listen. Hi.
Patrick drills into Cameron's French book.
Okay. Wait a minute.
Patrick stares as Cameron runs off. Michael examines the hole in the book.
How do we get him to date Kat?
I don't know.
Michael shakes his head.
I mean, we could pay him, but we don't have any money.
Yeah, well, what we need is a backer.
What's that?
Someone with money who's stupid.
The jock, Joey, doodles an obscene image on a food tray in the cafeteria. Michael sits next to Joey and his two friends, who stare at him in disbelief.
Is that a peach fruit roll-up? Because you don't see many. Oh.
The friend grabs his wrist.
Yeah. Oh, all right.
Are you lost?
No. Actually, I just came by to chat.
We don't chat.
Well, actually, I thought that I'd run an idea by you, just to see if you're interested.
I'm not.
Well, hear me out. Now, you want Bianca, right? But she can't go out with you because her sister is this insane head case and no one will go out with her, right?
Does this conversation have a purpose?
What I think you need to do is you need to hire a guy who'll go out with her. Someone who doesn't scare so easily.
The jock draws on Michael's face.
That guy?
They look at Patrick.
I heard he ate a live duck once.
Everything but the beak and feet. Clearly, he's a solid investment.
What's in it for you?
Hey, I'm walking down the hall and I say hello to you. You say hello to me.
Yeah, I get it. You're cool by association. I'll think about it.
Michael nods his head and smiles, the obscene drawing etched on his cheek.
We're done now.
Yeah.
He tries shaking Joey's hand. The jock ignores him.
What are you doing getting him involved?
Relax now. Relax. We let him pretend he's calling the shots. While he's busy setting things up, you have time with Bianca.
Michael raises his brows.
That is a good idea. Yeah, all right.
Cameron walks off. Michael grins.
I have a dick on my face, don't I?
He purses his lips.
Now remember, guys. Rip it. And rip it.
Elsewhere, four guys wearing button-up shirts watches Bogey swings at a golf ball on a tee. A guy wearing a bike helmet on the football field below catches the golf ball in a basket. Joey and a friend jog up to Patrick on the field.
Hey, how you doing?
Patrick looks away and puffs on a cigarette.
I had some great duck last night.
Patrick looks at him.
Do I know you?
You see that girl?
The jock points at Kat.
Yeah.
That's Kat Stratford. I want you to go out with her.
Yeah, sure, Sparky.
Look. I can't take out her sister until Kat starts dating. You see, their dad's whacked out. He's got this rule where the girls are...
That's a touching story. It really is. Not my problem.
Would you be willing to make it your problem if I provide generous compensation?
You're going to pay me to take out some chick?
Mm-hmm.
How much?
$20.
Patrick raises his brows. Kat body checks an opponent during soccer practice.
Fine, 30.
Patrick licks his lips.
Well, let's think about this. We go to the movies, that's, $15. We get popcorn, that's, $53. And, she'll want Raisinets, right? So, we're looking at $75.
This isn't a negotiation. Take it or leave it, trailer park.
$50 and we got a deal, Fabio.
Joey hands money to Patrick.
Great practice, everybody. Good hustle, Stratford.
Thanks, Mr. Chapin.
Kat and the rest of the players run off the field. Patrick walks towards Kat on the sidelines.
Hey there, girlie. How you doing?
Sweating like a pig, actually, and yourself?
Now, there's a way to get a guy's attention, huh?
My mission in life. But obviously I struck your fancy, so you see it worked. The world makes sense again.
Kat strides off. Patrick follows.
Pick up on Friday, then.
Oh, right. Friday. Uh-huh.
Well, tonight I take you places you've never been before.
Like where? The 7-Eleven on Broadway? Do you even know my name, Screwboy?
I know a lot more than you think.
Doubtful. Very doubtful.
Patrick stops and watches Kat walk away. Cameron and Michael watch from the bleachers.
We are screwed.
Hey, no, hey. I don't want to hear that defeatist attitude. I want to hear you upbeat.
We are screwed.
There you go.
Hey, Coach David!
A golf ball strikes the soccer coach. He falls on his back.
Run, Bogey!
Bogey freezes, his smile plastered on. Later, at night, Kat washes her face at her house.
Have you ever considered a new look? I mean, seriously, you could have some definite potential buried under all this hostility.
I'm not hostile. I'm annoyed.
Why don't you try being nice? People wouldn't know what to think.
You forget. I don't care what people think.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
Bianca combs her hair.
You don't always have to be who they want you to be, you know.
She stops.
I happen to like being adored, thank you.
Where'd you get the pearls?
They're mom's.
And you've been, what, hiding them for 3 years?
No, Daddy found them in a drawer last week.
So you're just gonna start wearing them now?
It's not like she's coming back to claim them.
She stares open-mouthed.
Besides, they look good on me.
Trust me, they don't.
Kat storms off. The next day, Patrick leans on Kat's car.
Nice ride. Vintage fenders.
Are you following me?
I was in the laundromat. I saw your car. Came over to say hi.
Hi.
He blocks her from entering.
Not a big talker, huh?
Depends on the topic. My fenders don't really whip me into a verbal frenzy.
You're not afraid of me, are you?
Afraid of you? Why would I be afraid of you?
Well, most people are.
Well, I'm not.
Well, maybe you're not afraid of me, but I'm sure you've thought about me naked, huh?
He winks.
Am I that transparent? I want you. I need you. Oh, baby, oh, baby.
She rolls her eyes and pushes them aside with the door. Patrick walks off as Joey pulls up and parks, blocking her car.
Ugh, what is it, asshole day? Do you mind?
Not at all.
He shrugs and walks by. She grits her teeth and backs up. Kat leaves a huge dent in Joey's driver's side door.
You bitch!
Joey runs to his car as Kat peers over her shoulder and smiles.
Whoops.
Whoops!
At her house.
My insurance does not cover PMS.
Well, then tell them I had a seizure.
Is this about Sarah Lawrence? Are you punishing me because I want you to stay close to home?
Aren't you punishing me because Mom left?
You think you could leave her out of this?
Fine, then stop making my decisions for me.
I'm your father, that's my right.
So what I want doesn't matter.
You're 18, you don't know what you want. And you won't know what you want till you're 45, and even if you get it, you'll be too old to use it.
I want to go to an East Coast school. I want you to trust me to make my own choices, and I want you to stop trying to control my life just because you can't control yours.
Oh, yeah, well, you know what I want.
He looks at his pager.
We'll continue this later.
Can't wait.
Bianca storms down the stairs holding a phone.
Did you just maim Joey's car?
Yeah. Looks like you're gonna have to take the bus.
Has the fact that you're completely psycho managed to escape your attention?
Kat walks upstairs.
Daddy!
At school, Patrick shuts his locker door, revealing Joey.
When I shell out 50, I expect results.
Yeah, I'm on it.
Watching that bitch violate my car doesn't count as a date. Now, if you don't get any, I don't get any. So get some.
Joey walks away.
I just upped my price.
What?
$100 a date. In advance.
Joey scoffs.
Forget it.
Well, forget her sister then.
Patrick smiles, toothpick in his mouth, as Joey pulls his wallet out.
You better hope you're as smooth as you think you are, Verona.
He hands him cash, and Patrick smiles. In Woodshop, Cameron and Michael hesitantly enter as Michael dodges the mohawk-headed student exiting.
Go.
Oh, you go.
I went before.
Michael places his hand on Cameron's back and waves the other, motioning for him to move forward. Patrick heats iron with a blowtorch as Cameron stands beside him.
We know what you're trying to do with Kat Stratford.
Is that right? And what do you plan to do about it?
Help you out.
Why's that?
The situation is, my man Cameron here has a Major Jones for Bianca Stratford.
What is it with this chick? She have beer-flavored nipples?
Hey!
I think I speak correctly when I say that Cameron's love is pure. Purer than, say, Joey Donner's.
Look, I'm in on this for the cash. Donner can plow wherever he wants.
Okay, there will be no plowing.
Michael silences him.
Patrick, Pat, let me explain something to you here. We set this whole thing up so Cameron can get the girl. Cameron, Joey's just a pawn.
Patrick grabs a pen from a table and considers them.
So you two are going to help me tame the wild beast?
Absolutely. We'll do some research. We'll find out what she likes. We're your guys.
And he means that in a strictly non-prison movie type of way.
He pulls out a flyer.
let's start here. Now, Friday night,
Bogey Lowenstein is having a party. It's the perfect opportunity.
Perfect opportunity for what?
For you to take out Kat.
Patrick rubs his eye and puts down the pen.
I'll think about it.
He walks off.
And for a little payback. This is gonna be some party.
The flyer reads Wine and Cheese Party, Future MBAs Only, hosted by Bogey Lowenstein. Now an alternate version says Free Beer Party, still hosted by Bogey.
Let's do this.
Cameron and Michael hold stacks of the altered flyers. They toss them into the school stairwell. As the flyers float down various levels of the staircase, students reach out and grab them. Later, Joey holds two nearly identical photographs of himself.
Okay, now this is really important, okay? Which one do you like better?
One, he wears a black shirt. The other, white.
I think I like the white shirt better.
Yeah, it's more...
pensive?
Damn, I was going for thoughtful. So you're going to Bogey Lowenbrow's thing on Friday night?
Yeah, I might.
Good. Guess you know. I'm not gonna bother if you won't be there.
Joey rubs Bianca's shoulder and she smiles.
See there?
Okay.
Alright.
She walks away, looks over her shoulder, and smiles at him. He lifts his chin and looks at his reflection on a locker door mirror. He winks at himself, fixing his hair. Later, Cameron and Bianca walk under a bridge next to the city.
So, have you heard about Bogey Lowenstein's party?
Yes. And I really, really, really want to go. But you know I can't. Not unless my sister does.
Yeah, I know. I'm working on that. But so far, she's not going for my guy. She's not a...
Katie Lang fan? No. I found a picture of Jared Leto in her drawer once, so I'm pretty sure she's not harboring same-sex tendencies.
Okay, so that's the kind of guy she likes, like pretty guys.
I don't know. All I've ever heard her say is that she'd die before dating a guy that smokes.
Okay, all right, no smoking. What else?
You're asking me to investigate the inner workings of my sister's twisted mind? I don't think so.
Well, nothing else has worked. I mean, we need to go behind enemy lines here.
Bianca pulls papers from Kat's desk drawer.
Okay, here we go. Class schedule, reading list, date book, concert tickets.
She opens Kat's dresser drawer.
Aha! Black panties.
She holds them up.
What does that tell us?
She wants to have sex someday, that's what.
She could just like the color.
You don't buy black lingerie unless you want someone to see it.
Oh. So.
Cameron stares at the floor.
Can I see your room?
No.
She stares, open-mouthed.
A girl's room is very personal.
At night, Michael, with Cameron sitting behind him, pulls up to a bar on his moped. The front is lined with motorcycles. He parks in the middle of two bikers.
Nice bike!
Yeah, you think so?
The bikers ride off as Michael gives one a thumbs up. Inside the bar, Cameron and Michael move hesitantly, peering at bikers wearing black vests and sunglasses who glare back at them.
Wow. Is this what a bar looks like?
Cameron reaches into a jar filled with matchbooks.
Don't touch anything. You may get hepatitis.
They stroll over to Patrick playing pool. Michael stops at a pool table and grabs an eight ball as a player tries to strike it. He throws it down, and the player glares.
So what do you got for me?
A little insight to a very complicated girl.
Excuse me, just one question before we start. Should you be drinking alcohol when you don't have a liver?
What?
Nothing.
Cameron peers at Michael.
All right, first thing, Kat hates smokers.
Cameron takes the cigarette from Patrick.
So you're telling me I'm a non-smoker?
Yes, but just for now.
And here's another problem. Bianca said that Kat likes pretty guys.
Cameron looks at Michael, then they both stare at Patrick. Patrick eyes both teens.
Are you telling me I'm not a pretty guy?
He's very pretty.
Yeah,
this is a gorgeous guy.
I just wasn't sure. I didn't
guy.
Know. You know.
Michael gives two thumbs up.
All right, yeah, okay. Here's this,
Cameron takes out a slip of paper.
Likes. Thai food, feminist bros, and angry girl music of the indie rock persuasion. There's a list of CDs that she has in her room.
Cameron hands the paper to Patrick.
So I'm supposed to buy her some noodles and a book and sit around listening to chicks who can't play their instruments, right?
Have you ever been to Club Skunk?
Your favorite band's playing there tomorrow night.
I can't be seen at Club Skunk, all right?
But she'll be there. She's got tickets.
Listen, assail your ears for one night.
Patrick looks away.
She has a pair of black underwear.
He turns back.
If that helps.
Couldn't hurt, right?
At Club Skunk, Patrick walks down a tight hallway crowded with young women mostly wearing black. Two girls standing against the wall turn and look at him. He continues walking, revealing the main room where a large crowd of girls dance. The crowd is mainly girls, but a few men are scattered throughout the club. Patrick moves through the crowded club. He steps up to a dance floor, at the end of which is a stage. A five-piece band led by a female performs. The vocalist, in a blue dress with bleached hair tied in knots, is flanked by two guitarists and a bass player. They jump to the music, colorful lights shining behind them. Patrick spots Kat, her arms in the air as she twirls to the music. A smile appears on his face as he watches. Patrick makes his way to the bar.
Verona, what are you doing here tonight?
I need a hot dog!
Cass stops dancing and walks through the crowd towards the bar.
Do water?
She glances left and spots Patrick. She makes a face as she reaches for money and hands it to the bartender. She takes her water and approaches him.
If you're planning on asking me out again, you might as well just get it over with.
Do you mind? You're kind of ruining this for me.
You're not surrounded by your usual cloud of smoke.
I know, I quit. Apparently they're bad for you.
You think?
He looks at her and then looks away.
You know, these guys are no bikini kill or the raincoats. They're not bad.
Patrick stands up and walks away from Pat. She follows him.
You know who the raincoats are.
Why, don't you?
She looks away and then casts a sidelong glance at her.
I was watching you out there before. I've never seen you look so sexy.
The crowd surrounding him stops and stares. Kat smiles, looking up at Patrick. He smiles back.
Come to Bogey's party with me.
She tilts her head.
You never give up, do you?
He looks away, then back.
Was that a yes?
No.
Well, then was that a no?
No!
I'll see you at 9:30 then.
She raises a bottle of water and disappears in the crowd. At the house, Bianca, in a short red dress, tiptoes down the stairs with her friend behind her.
Should have used the window.
Her dad sits, reading.
Hi, Daddy.
Hi.
He stands up.
Where are we going?
Well, if you must know, a small study group of friends.
Otherwise known as an orgy?
Mr. Stratford is just a party.
And hell is just a sauna.
He nods, mouth tight.
Do you know anything about a party?
Kat shakes her head.
People expect me to be there.
Kat's not going, you're not going.
Why can't you be normal? Define normal. Bogey Lowenstein's party is normal.
What's a Bogey Lowenstein?
Bogey's party is just a lame excuse for all the idiots at our school to drink beer and rub up against each other in hopes of distracting themselves from the pathetic emptiness of their meaningless
consumer-driven lives.
The girls stare at each other.
Can you, for just one night, forget that you're completely wretched and be my sister? Please?
Kat gives a blank look.
Please? Come on, Kat. Please do this for me.
Kat blinks and smiles.
Fine, I'll make an appearance.
Bianca eyes her friend, and they hug Kat.
It's starting.
It's just a party, Daddy.
He looks back and forth at both of them.
I want you to wear the belly.
Daddy, no.
Not all night. Just around the living room for a minute so you can understand the full weight of your decisions.
He straps a pregnancy vest on her.
I am perfectly
Listen
aware.
Listen to me. Every time you even think about kissing a boy, I want you to picture wearing this under your halter top.
You are so completely unbalanced.
Nah.
We're going now.
All right, wait a minute. No drinking, no drugs, no kissing, no tattoos, no piercings, no ritual animal slaughters of any kind. Oh, God, I'm giving them ideas.
Daddy!
Cat opens the door.
What are you doing here?
9:30, right? No, I'm early.
Whatever, I'm driving.
Who knocked up your sister?
Bianca turns and glares. Meanwhile, Mike and Cameron get ready.
So then Bianca says that I was right, that she didn't wear the Kenneth Coles with that dress because she thought that, you know, it was a mixing genres, right? And the fact that I noticed, and this is a direct quote, listen, really meant something.
You told me that part already.
Yeah, well, I've been thinking about it all
the time. You stop being so self-involved for 1 minute. How do I look?
Michael puts on a tie.
You look like my great-uncle Milton.
You think I should lose the tie?
Yeah.
Maybe you're right. I'm just so nervous. And I'm also very excited. I'm nervous. I'm excited. It's all very mixed up. I don't know what to do.
Just calm down, all right?
Shh. The last party I went to was at Chuck E. Cheese. You want to talk about some fun? That's a good time.
Michael blow dries his hair. Later, a person steps on a discarded flyer. More people come into view racing toward Bogey's house. Two carry a keg. A massive two-story house comes into view as the crowd grows in size. Cars pull into the long driveway and park. Inside, a hand reaches into a cigar box.
Now remember, guys, don't touch anything.
It's Bogey.
Oh! Okay, what did I tell you?
He takes a glass face from a boy.
Must be Nigel with the brie.
The crowd of people rush in, pushing Bogey backwards. One guest sets up a large speaker. A DJ with spiky hair nods his head to the beat and turns knobs on a turntable. Upstairs, Michael, wearing a cream sports jacket and blue button-up shirt, sways to the music. He stops next to a girl.
You know, I'm thinking of getting a Tercel. Yeah, that's a Toyota.
She walks away.
It has dual-side airbags and a spacious back seat.
Kat and Patrick walk up a staircase lined with students. A girl throws herself at Patrick.
Kiss me!
Kiss him.
Okay.
Good.
He pushes her toward the closest guy and they immediately make out.
Hey, thanks, man!
The girl falls. In another room, Joey notices Kat.
Sweet. Looking fresh tonight, pussycat.
Wait, did your hairline just recede?
He touches his hair.
Hey,
where are you going?
Away.
Your sister here?
Stay away from my sister.
Oh, I'll stay away from your sister. But I can't guarantee she'll stay away from me.
Fight! Ooh! Fight!
Joey runs out, followed by more guys who bump into Kat. Two guys tackle each other, knocking over the couch.
You guys, please, take it outside!
They crash through wooden glass doors. Bogey stands open-mouthed.
Thank you!
Kat passes Joey and Bianca.
Hey, Kat. Look who found me.
Bianca, wait.
Please do not address me in public.
No, there's something I need to tell you.
Look, I am busy enjoying my adolescence, so scamper off and do the same.
Bye-bye.
They walk off. A guy approaches with a tray of drinks.
Want one? What is this?
Right on, sister.
She grabs one and downs it.
I've been looking all over the place for you.
I'm getting trashed, man. Isn't that what you're supposed to do at a party?
I don't know. I say do what you want to do.
Funny. You're the only one. Later.
Kat walks away, taking another drink from the tray. Patrick watches as she climbs the stairs, holding the glass up. Two guys in fedoras bob their heads to the music. Mike bounces and approaches two girls.
Lord of the dance. Hi, Heather.
Bite me.
Should have kept the tie.
Hey, have you seen her around anywhere?
Relax.
I'm fine.
Follow the love.
Michael points to Bianca walking down the stairs.
Hi, Bianca.
Oh, hi, Cameron. You know Chastity?
She pushes her at him.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we have art together, right?
Neat.
Chastity turns to Bianca.
So, you really look amazing.
Bianca hesitates, then smiles.
Thanks.
And we all know I look amazing. Bianca, let's go. We're all congregating around Mr. Cuervo.
He grabs Bianca.
I'll see you around, okay?
Cameron blinks as Joey gives him a thumbs up behind her back. Cameron continues to stare, not moving. Michael gives him a sympathetic look.
So I've got the Sears catalog thing going and the tube sock gig. That is going to be huge.
Outside of Guy Fawkes.
And I'm up for hemorrhoid cream ad next week. I know it sounds kind of bogus, but I get to do some acting.
Joey stacks his beer can at the top of a pyramid of cans. He stands with his hands on his hips, posing.
You see what I did there?
Uh-huh.
That was underwear. I'll show you the bathing suit one again.
He strikes the same exact pose.
You see the difference? All right, I'll show you.
Bianca turns away with a disgusted look. A cowboy and NBA guy spit into an ornamental glass bowl. Bogey pulls the bowl away as Bianca walks into the room, eyes darting around the crowd. She stops and sees Joey striking another pose for a group of girls. She turns around and spots a sullen-faced Cameron. As he stops in his track, Bianca opens her mouth, closes it, and looks down at the ground. She walks away and grabs Chastity.
Is it me, or does the party all of a sudden suck?
She runs off, pulling Chastity along with her. Patrick walks by the kissing couple from earlier.
Really? Really? Thank you.
He pats the guy.
Hey, Kat, why don't you let me have this one, huh?
No, this one's mine.
He tries to grab her drink.
My man! How
did you get her to do it?
Do what?
Act like a human.
Kat climbs onto a table. Joey runs in, Patrick following behind him. A crowd gathers around her as she dances. She thrusts her hips and dips down on the table, spinning to the beat with her arms in the air. Bianca watches open mouths from the floor above as Kat, now on her knees, continues to thrust her hips. She waves her hands in the air and flips her hair back. Bianca scrunches her nose and races down. Kat, now standing, twirls and hits her head on the chandelier. She falls backwards into Patrick's arms. He lets go. She topples back.
You're not fine. Come on.
I just need to lie down somewhere.
You lie down and you go to sleep.
Sleep is good.
No, not if you have a concussion. Come on. Here, sit down.
He helps her outside.
Sit.
Hey, we need to talk.
Cameron, I'm a little busy right now.
Can you give me a second?
Kat sits holding her head in her hands. Patrick hesitates, then follows Cameron.
What?
It's off. Okay, the whole thing's off.
What are you talking about?
Cameron sags and shakes his head.
She never wanted me. She wanted Joey the whole time.
Cameron, do you like the girl?
Yeah?
Yeah, and is she worth all this trouble?
Well, I thought she was, but, you know,
Well, she is or she isn't. See, first of all, Joey is not half the man you are. Secondly, don't let anyone ever make you feel like you don't deserve what you want. Go for it.
He clasps Cameron's shoulders. Then he grabs Kat as she topples over.
Come on.
With her arm over his shoulder, Patrick helps Kat off the bench and walks her away from the house. Cameron watches, tightening his mouth.
This is so patronizing.
Oh, I'll leave it to you to use big words when you're smashed.
I don't think so.
Okay.
They walk up a hill. She falls.
Why are you doing this?
I told you, you may have a concussion.
You don't care if I never wake up.
Sure I do.
Why?
Well, then, because then I'd have to start taking out girls who actually like me.
Like you could find one.
Oh, see, that, there. Who needs affection when I have blind hatred?
let me sit down for a while.
Kat sits on a swing, facing away from the house. Patrick grabs one of the chains, and Kat loses her balance.
Jeez.
He makes sure she is stable, and then sits on the other swing beside her.
So why'd you let him get to you?
Who?
Joey.
I hate him.
Well, you've chosen the perfect revenge, mainlining tequila.
Well, you know what they say.
Nope, what do they say?
She slumps down.
No. Kat, come on, wake up. Look at me. Listen to me, Kat. Open your eyes.
He gently pats her cheeks and her eyes slowly open as she lifts her head up.
Hey. Your eyes have a little green in them.
Patrick cracks a wide smile and she smiles back. Patrick lifts his hands helplessly and looks down. He looks around and sits back on the swing. He rubs the back of her head. Back at the party.
I don't know if we should go.
Hey, a bunch of us are going to Jarrett's. Ready?
I have to be home in 20 minutes. You know, I don't have to be home till 2, so.
One more chance.
Oh, man, I can't. Damn, that's a shame.
Well, you want to go?
Sure. Chastity? Hey, you passed. Bitch.
Joey walks off with his arm around Chastity. Cameron passes her.
Hey, have fun tonight?
Tons. Hey, Cameron, do you think you could give me a ride home?
Cameron stops and thinks. Elsewhere, Patrick drives Kat's car.
I should do this.
Do what?
This!
Start a band?
No, install car stereos. Yeah, start a band. My father would love that.
The red car with a white hood comes to a stop at her house, the lights still on inside. Patrick puts it in park and takes out the keys. Kat pushes her hair behind her ears and smiles.
You don't strike me as the type that would ask your father for permission.
Oh, so now you think you know me?
I'm getting there.
The only thing people know about me is that I'm scary.
Yeah, well, I'm not pitying myself.
She turns quickly and stares into his eyes, showing the beginnings of a smile. He doesn't break eye contact.
What's up with your dad? Is he a pain in the ass?
No, he just wants me to be somebody that I'm not.
Who?
Bianca.
Bianca. Well, no offense or anything. I mean, I know everyone digs your sister, but, she's without.
Kat gives him a considering look and allows a small smile.
You know, you're not as vile as I thought you were.
They stare at each other. Then Kat shuts her eyes and leans in for a kiss. Patrick starts to meet her, then turns away.
Maybe we should do this another time.
She opens her eyes in surprise and leans back. Kat storms out of the car and marches towards her house. Patrick looks at her, then turns away, scratching his head. As Patrick drives off in his light green truck, he passes by Cameron driving his compact car with Bianca in the passenger seat. Cameron parks at the curb. Bianca undoes her seatbelt and the two sit in awkward silence. He looks at her, and she looks away. Then she looks at him, and he stares at the steering wheel.
You never wanted to go sailing with me, did you?
Yes, I did.
He smirks.
No, you didn't.
Well, okay, no, not actually.
Well, then that's all you had to say.
She glances out the window.
Have you always been this selfish?
She blinks, staring straight ahead.
You know, just because you're beautiful, that doesn't mean that you can treat people like they don't matter. I mean, I really liked you, okay? I defended you when people called you conceited. I helped you when you asked me to. I learned French for you, and then you just blow me off so that you can...
She grabs Cameron by the cheek and pulls him in for a kiss. Bianca smiles and exits. She looks back at him as she shuts the car door and walks up to her house, a smile appearing on her face. Cameron watches her as she walks up the pathway. She peers at him over her shoulder. Cameron smiles, licking his lips.
And I'm back in the game.
Now in English class.
Catch me, lady. You sway to the rhythm of me eyes.
Dance for me, cowgirl.
Cat, babe, what do we owe you for the table dance?
All right, not that I give a damn, but how was everybody's weekend?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe we should ask Cat.
Unless she kicked the crap out of your dumb butt, I don't want to hear about it. Okay, let's open up our books to page 73, sonnet 141, and listen up. In faith I do not love thee with mine eyes, for then thee a thousand errors note. But 'tis my heart that loves what they despise, who in despite of you is pleased to dote.
Cat smiles, clutching her book.
Now, I know Shakespeare's a dead white guy, but he knows his shit, so we can overlook that. I want you all to write your own version of this sonnet.
Oh. Cat holds up her hand.
Yes, miss, I have an opinion about everything.
Do you want this in iambic pentameter?
He turns to her.
You're not going to fight me on this?
No, I think it's a really good assignment.
You just messing with me, aren't you?
No, I'm really looking forward to writing it.
He stares.
Get out of my class.
What?
Out, get out!
Cat gets up from her desk and puts her book in her bag as the teacher points to the door.
Thanks, Mr. Morgan.
Shut up.
In the hallway, Cameron and Michael exchange laughter as Michael sorts through his locker. Bianca walks down the crowded hallway, smiling at Cameron. Cameron smiles back as she walks by, her grin growing in size. Michael walks up to Kat's brunette friend as she opens her locker.
Hey. Hey, cool picture. What's that collar for? Is that to keep him from licking his stitches?
She glares at him.
Kidding. No, because I know you're a fan of Shakespeare.
More than a fan. We're involved.
Okay.
He moves behind her.
Who could refrain that had a heart to love? And in that heart...
courage to make love known.
She smiles.
It's Macbeth, right?
Right.
She eyes him curiously.
So listen. I have this friend. And he likes your friend.
At the football field, Cameron and Patrick watch soccer practice from the bleachers.
What did you do to her?
I didn't do anything. She would have been too drunk to remember.
Yeah, but the plan was working.
What do you care? I thought you wanted out.
Yeah, well, I did, but that was until she kissed me.
Cameron looks down, smiling.
Where?
In the car.
Patrick's smile disappears. Michael dodges track runners.
Sorry, we are sorry. All right, I talked to her. I got the scoop.
What'd she say?
Hates him with the fire of a thousand suns. That's a direct quote.
Thanks, Michael. That's very comforting of you.
We don't know. She could need a day to cool off.
A soccer ball zooms past their heads, nearly hitting them. Kat, in her soccer gear, stares them down from the field.
Maybe two.
They look at Patrick, then look to the field. Later, Kat walks with her friend. She sees another prom poster and rips it down.
Hey! Can you even imagine? Who the hell would go to that antiquated mating ritual? I would, but I don't have a date. Do you really want to get all dressed up so some Drakkar Noir-wearing Dexter with a boner can feel you up while you're forced to listen to a band that by definition blows? Oh, right, we won't go. It's not like I've got a dress anyway. You're looking at this from entirely the wrong perspective. You're making a statement. Oh, goody! Something new and different for us!
Later on the football field, girls line up at orange cones and shoot arrows from their bows. The gym teacher helps a student line up a shot. Chastity shoots as Bianca aims.
Hey there, Cupid.
Hi, Joey.
You're concentrating awfully hard considering it's gym class.
Can I help you?
I want to talk to you about prom.
They look at the gym teacher, her arrow protruding from his backside.
Look, you know the deal. I can't go if Kat doesn't go.
Your sister is going.
Since when?
Oh, let's just say I'm taking care of it.
Joey hands her another arrow as the class watches the flailing teacher.
Here, this should take care of the flowers, the limo, the tux, everything. Just make sure she gets to the prom.
$200.
You know what? I'm sick of playing your little game.
Patrick hands the cash back.
Okay, wait. You sick of, let's say, 300?
Patrick runs his hand through his hair and pauses, looking down at the cash. He takes the money. With a smirk, Joey leaves. Patrick looks up with a somber expression. Now, through the view of a store window, Kat stands in front of a row of guitars. She chooses an off-white electric guitar and sits down on a stool next to amps. Kat wears headphones as she begins to pluck the strings with her fingers. Patrick walks up behind her and watches. Kat, her eyes closed, moves her fingers on the bar, focused. Patrick walks off. Her eyes open suddenly, and she glances right, then left. Now at a bookstore, Patrick meanders through rows of bookshelves. He spots Kat as she walks from one shelf to the other. Patrick walks alongside her on the opposite side, peeking through a gap above the books. They both reach the end of the shelf at the same time.
Excuse me, have you seen The Feminine Mystique? I've lost my copy.
What are you doing here?
I heard there was a poetry reading.
You're so...
charming. Wholesome.
Unwelcome?
She walks away and smirks.
You're not as mean as you think you are, you know that?
And you're not as badass as you think you are.
Ooh, someone still has her panties in a twist.
Don't for one minute think that you had any effect whatsoever on my panties.
Then what did I have an effect on?
Other than my upchuck reflex, nothing.
She slams the book titled Feminine Mystique on his chest. Patrick looks down and smiles. On another day, students converge on the school courtyard. Now in the cafeteria.
You're right, she's still pissed.
Sweet love, renew thy force.
Hey.
Patrick looks around.
Don't say shit like that to me. People can hear you.
Look, you embarrassed the girl. Sacrifice yourself on the altar of dignity and even the score.
Patrick spoons a glob of food on his plate and walks away.
Listen, don't say shit like that to him. People can hear you.
In the hallway, Patrick walks through a crowd of students and meets with a guy standing against the lockers. Patrick surveys the scene and makes sure no one is watching. He hands cash to the guy, who nods and puts it in his chest pocket. At the football field press box, someone turns on a wireless mic and adjusts the sound's level on a mixing board. The person's fingers turn various knobs, sliding the field mic announce one all the way up.
You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off of you. You'd be like heaven to touch. I wanna hold you so much.
Patrick holds the mic while sliding down a pole with speakers at the top.
And I thank God I'm alive. You're just too good to be true.
He looks out at the field where Kat practices soccer and a marching band stands in perfect rows. The marching band, led by the guy Patrick paid, moves to the beat. She looks up at Patrick, wide-eyed. Patrick spreads out his arms and spins on a row of bleachers. The band marches in perfect formation and stops. Patrick points to Kat as she turns and glances at her teammates. He sits, mic in hand, then gets up. Patrick energetically strides across a bleacher. Two security guards approach from opposite sides. He smiles as one of the guards grabs him. The second guard grabs Patrick's other arm and they carry him away. Patrick shoves them to the ground and can-cans off, smiling as they race behind him. Patrick runs around the bleachers, continuing to dodge the guards. He runs behind one and pats him on his backside. He continues to run as Kat and her teammates cheer him on. Outside the detention room, a chalkboard sign-in list shows Patrick's signature, among others. The gym teacher, a middle-aged man with slicked back hair, sits down on his desk, immediately standing up, touching his behind. He walks towards a student.
You look pretty nervous.
Yes, sir.
You're sweating like a pig.
Yes, sir.
Your eyes are all bloodshot.
Yes, sir.
You've got pot, don't you?
The student averts his eyes and gulps. He reaches for a rolled-up plastic bag.
I'm confiscating this.
The teacher narrows his eyes and walks away, baggie in hand. He stops and stealthily takes a bag of chips on a student's desk.
This too.
He walks to the front of the class as Kat enters. Patrick sulks at his desk.
Mr. Chapin, can I talk to you for a second?
What can I do for you, Stratford?
Sir, I have some ideas on how we can improve the girls' soccer team.
Great! Let's talk about it later.
Mr. Chapin turns to his desk. She looks at Patrick and gestures frantically.
Window.
Mr. Chapin turns and she stops.
As you know, we have a really big game with Hillcrest High.
Your bicep is huge!
Patrick runs to the
front
of the class.
Oh my god, the other one's even bigger. You don't take steroids, do you? Because I've heard that steroids can severely disintegrate your package. I mean, not that I'm thinking about your package. That's not the point.
Let's hope not.
And the point is, they kick our butts every year, and I was thinking I devised a plan that will enable us to finally defeat them.
Which is?
That thing that you taught us.
What thing?
Misdirection.
I taught you that?
Yeah, you or Siegfried or Roy. Anyway, that's not important.
Patrick sneaks behind Mr. Chapin.
Think about it. They're looking left, and we're running right. Bang, we score. We win.
Okay, but how do we get them to look left?
Like this.
He starts to turn as Patrick opens the window. Kat grabs her coach and pulls up her shirt.
Okay. Well, now that you've seen the plan, I'm gonna go and show the plan to someone else. Okay. Bye.
Mr. Chapin stands motionless as Kat walks out, putting her hands up to her head. Later, Kat and Patrick ride in a paddle boat.
I can't thank you enough for helping me sneak out of detention.
Very cool.
No problem.
I thought for sure I was busted when I was climbing out that window, I tell you. So how did you keep him distracted?
I dazzled him with my wits.
They smile as they continue to paddle.
So what's your excuse?
For
acting the way we did.
I don't like to do what people expect. Why should I live up to other people's expectations instead of my own?
So you're disappointed from the start, and then you're covered, right?
She looks at him.
Something like that.
Then you screwed up.
How?
You never disappointed me.
He turns to her, narrowing his eyes from the glare of the sun. She smiles as another paddle boat floats behind them. Patrick looks at something in the distance.
Are you up for it?
Up for what?
Patrick points. Later, on the shore, a group of people in white jumpsuits splattered with various colors of paint congregate at a place called Paintballs. Kat hits Patrick in the chest with a red paintball. He throws one at her and misses. He tries again and hits her. Kat runs away as Patrick pulls back his arm and throws another. They run around various obstacles and stacks of hay. Kat hits Patrick with a yellow paintball as he crouches behind a blue pipe cutout. They stand up on opposite sides and she splatters a blue paintball on his head. She runs and gets hit in the back, then puts up her hands in surrender. Patrick puts his arm around her. He splatters a yellow paintball on her head and she runs off. Patrick tackles her down on a pile of hay and throws his goggles in the air. Lying on the hay, their white jumpsuits covered with paint, Patrick touches Kat's cheek and leans down for a kiss. She lifts her arm and wraps it over his shoulder. She lifts her other arm and fully embraces him as they continue to kiss. Kat reaches to her side and strikes Patrick in the head with another paintball. He follows her as she runs off. Kat weaves in and out, dodging the paintballs he throws. Now at Kat's house, Patrick parks his truck curbside and they both get out.
No, none of that stuff is true.
State trooper.
Fallacy. Dead guy in the parking lot.
Rumor. The duck.
Hearsay. Bobby Ridgway's bald.
Fact. But he deserved it. He tried to grope me in the lunch line.
Fair enough.
The accent.
It's real. I lived in Australia until I was 10.
With the pygmies?
Close. With my mom.
Where were you last year? I know the porn career is a lie.
Do you?
She stops and stares. They take a seat on the porch step. Their hair is still covered with paint.
Tell me something true.
Something true. I hate peas.
No. Something real. Something no one else knows.
Okay. You're sweet.
He kisses her neck.
And sexy.
Her eyebrows rise.
And completely helpful me.
You are amazingly self-assured. Has anyone ever told you that?
I tell myself that every day, actually.
He smiles and kisses her lips.
Go to the prom with me.
Is that a request or a command?
Come on, go with me.
No.
No? Why not?
Because I don't want to. Because it's a stupid tradition.
Oh, come on, people won't expect you to go.
Why are you pushing this?
He narrows his eyes and opens his mouth.
What's in it for you?
Oh. So now I need to have a motive to want to be with you.
You tell me.
Oh, you need therapy. You know that? Has anyone ever told you that?
Answer the question, Patrick.
Nothing. There is nothing in it for me. Just the pleasure of your company. Okay?
He sticks a cigarette in his mouth. She grabs it and throws it to the ground as she gets up and walks inside. He looks over his shoulder at the front door. At school, subtitles appear. May I offer you a parsnip? No, you may not. Where is my uncle's pencil?
Je ne sais pas. Peut-être dans ton.
I don't know. Maybe it's up your ass.
Wait a minute. That's not on this page.
Let's try to demander.
Let me ask you a question, Cameron. When are you going to ask me out? Bianca slams her book shut and storms off. Cameron flips through his textbook and looks up. In the hallway, Kat's friend opens her locker. She pulls out a green and red Elizabethan dress. She runs her arm under it and finds a note on the hanger. The note reads, "Fair one, join me at the prom. I will be waiting. Love, William S." She mouths out the words and smiles. Oh.
7!
On his deck, Kate and Bianca's dad do sit-ups.
Good.
He stands up.
Oh.
Daddy?
Hi, honey.
I'd like to discuss tomorrow night with you. Now, as you know, it's the prom.
He stretches a band and lets it go.
The prom. Kat has a date?
Well, no.
Don't think you're fooling me for a second. I know who you want to bend the rules for. It's that hot rod Joey.
What's a hot rod?
If your sister's not going, you're not going. End of story.
Okay, let's review. Kat, not interested. Me, dying to go.
Do you know what happens at proms?
Yes, Daddy. We'll dance, we'll kiss, we'll come home. It's not quite the crisis situation you imagine.
Kissing, huh? That's what you think happens? Got news for you. Kissing isn't what keeps me up to my elbows in placenta all day long.
Can we, for 2 seconds, ignore the fact that you're severely unhinged and discuss my need for a night of teenage normalcy?
What's normal? Those damn Dawson's River kids sleeping in each other's beds and whatnot?
Daddy, that is so nuts.
Got news for you. I'm down. I've got the 411. And you are not going out and getting jiggy with some boy. I don't care how dope his ride is.
She rolls her eyes.
Ugh!
Her dad pedals on his exercise bike.
My mama didn't raise no fool. Thanks, Bill.
The stretch band lands in his jacuzzi.
Ridiculous amounts of love across this nation worldwide. Believe it.
This is the true story. The real world.
Seattle.
Come in.
K Kat enters Bianca's room as she lies watching TV with her head at the foot of her bed.
Listen, I know...
Kat grabs the remote and shuts the TV off.
I know you hate having to sit at home because I'm not Susie High School.
Like you care.
I do care. But I'm a firm believer in doing something for your own reasons and not someone else's.
Well, I wish I had that luxury. You know, I'm the only sophomore that got asked to go to the prom, and I can't go because you don't feel like it.
Kat looks down and opens her mouth, trying to find the right words.
Joey never told you that we went out, did he?
Yeah, okay.
In ninth for a month.
Bianca looks up at her sister.
Why?
Because he was, like, such a babe.
But you hate Joey.
Now I do.
So what happened?
Kat raises her eyebrows and bobs her head. Bianca's eyes go wide.
Oh. Please tell me you're joking.
Just once. Right after Mom left. Everyone was doing it, so I did it. Afterwards, I told him I didn't want to anymore because I wasn't ready. And he got pissed and he dumped me. After that, I swore I would never do anything just because everyone else was doing it. And I haven't since. With the exception of Bogey's party and my stunning digestive pyrotechnics.
How is it possible that I did not know about this?
I warned him that if he told anyone, the cheerleading squad would find out how tiny his dick is.
Okay, so why didn't you tell me?
I wanted to let you make up your own mind about him.
Then why did you help Daddy hold me hostage? It's not like I'm stupid enough to repeat your mistakes.
I guess I thought I was protecting you.
By not letting me experience anything for myself?
Not all experiences are good, Bianca. You can't always trust the people you want to.
Well, I guess I'll never know, will I?
Bianca opens her door, darting her eyes towards the exit. Kat goes slack-jawed and walks out. Shutting her door, Bianca returns to her bed and cuddles a big, stuffed teddy bear. Later, Kat lies on her bed, the headboard against a poster-covered wall. She goes to her window and sees Bianca sitting in a tire swing. Her younger sister has her arms crossed on the top of the tire as she stares straight ahead. Kat watches, her expression contemplative. She releases the shade as she steps back. Bianca gently sways on the tire swing. Nighttime at the house.
And ladies with thinning hair or bald spots, GLH solves the problem instantly. GLH is not a paint or a cover-up. It's an amazing powder that clings to the tiniest hairs on your head. It actually builds on itself, leaving you with great, great-looking hair. And the GLH hair system is not expensive.
Interesting.
Kat walks downstairs in a vibrant blue dress.
Bye, Dad. I'm going to the prom.
Funny, sweetie.
Her dad doesn't move until the door shuts. He stands as Bianca comes downstairs in a dark pink crop top and pink crinoline skirt.
What's that?
A prom dress.
I seem to be hearing that word a lot lately.
She opens the door, revealing Cameron, wearing a tuxedo.
Hi.
Wow. I am... Wow.
Bye, Daddy.
Stop. Turn. Explain.
Okay. Remember how you said I could date if Kat dated? Well, she found this guy who's actually kind of perfect for her, which is actually kind of perfect for me, because Cameron asked me to go to the prom, and I really, really, really want to go. And since Kat won, I guess I'm allowed to, based on the aforementioned rule and its previous stipulations, of course.
Nice to meet you.
Now, let's go.
Cameron's attempt to shake hands is interrupted by Bianca.
I know every cop in town, bucko.
The dad smirks as Bianca pulls Cameron along.
This is not good.
He presses his lips together and raises his eyebrows. In the packed school auditorium, students dressed in suits and dresses dance to the music of a 7-piece band on stage. The brunette singer is flanked by 3 brass players on one side, with a bass player behind them, a guitarist on the other side of the stage, and the drummer in the back. The singer pumps her fists into the air and hops to the beat in her high heels. Outside the auditorium, Kat walks up a set of stairs, her hair in an updo. She reaches the top of the stairs where Patrick stands holding a single red rose. He wears a tuxedo with the top button of the shirt undone.
Wow.
You too.
He hands her the rose, and they lock arms.
Where'd you get a tux at the last minute?
Oh, just something I had, you know, lying around. Where'd you get the dress?
Oh, just something I had, you know, lying around.
They pass a couple taking photos.
Listen, I'm really sorry that I questioned your motives. I was wrong.
He raises his brows.
You're forgiven.
She nods and smiles.
Okay. Ready for the prom?
Yes, ma'am.
At Kat and Bianca's house, Joey walks to the front door. He grins from one side of his mouth as their dad walks over.
Hi, Mr. Stratford. I'm Joey. I'm here to pick up Bianca.
Their dad glowers and shuts the door. Joey furrows his brow and peeks inside the door. Back in the auditorium, Kat and Patrick move to the dance floor where they spot Bianca and Cameron hand in hand. Kat nods and Bianca smiles. Bianca and Cameron put their foreheads together.
Have you seen him?
Who?
William!
He asked me to meet him here.
Oh, Mandela, please tell me you haven't progressed to full-on hallucinations.
Kat's friend Mandela circles frantically wearing the Elizabethan dress. Patrick points, and she turns. Her jaw drops at the sight of Michael. She gives a small wave. Michael, wearing bright red Elizabethan wear, glances at the singer and walks off stage. He exchanges smiles with Mandela as he gets closer.
A lady!
Good sir!
He gently grasps her hand and gives it a kiss. The singer, illuminated by colorful strobing lights, raises her arm in the air, then drops it. She walks to the side of the stage as some students in the packed crowd pump their fists. Kat and Patrick clap while staring into each other's eyes. Kat looks to the stage.
Oh my God!
I called in a favor!
She stares at Patrick open-mouthed as her favorite band performs on stage. The singer steps off stage with mic in hand and walks towards them. The singer holds out her hand to Kat and Patrick as she sways to the music. As she turns and walks back towards the stage, Patrick touches Kat's chin and kisses her. They embrace and slow dance. On the stage, the brass players perform synchronized dance moves. The couple slow dance as the crowd jumps up and down to the music. In the bathroom, Bianca dries her hands on her pink dress. Her eyes go wide at the sight of chastity.
What are you doing here?
Oh, I know you didn't think you were the only sophomore at the prom. Joey just picked me up.
Oh, well, congratulations. He's all yours.
Very generous, princess. And just so you know, Joey only left you for one reason. He even had a bet going with his friends. He's gonna nail you tonight.
With her mouth agape and eyes wide, Bianca storms off.
Milwaukee!
What?
That's where I was last year. I wasn't in jail, I don't know Marilyn Manson, and I didn't sleep with a Spice Girl, I don't think. You see, my grandpa, he was ill, so I spent most of the year on his couch watching Wheel of Fortune and making SpaghettiOs. End of story.
No way!
Patrick dips Kat.
Hey, what's Bianca doing here with that cheese dip? I didn't pay you to take out Kat so that some little punk could snake me with Bianca.
Kat stares at Patrick, who gives her a pleading look.
Nothing in it for you, huh?
She bumps into him as she storms off. Patrick turns to Joey, then runs off in Kat's direction. Michael and Mandela sidestep dance their way towards Cameron.
The shit hath hitteth the fan. If.
Michael points to Joey. Cameron heads toward him, but Michael pulls him back.
Joey, pal, compadre, listen. Oh!
Joey throws him down, then glares at Cameron.
You messed with the wrong guy. Now you're gonna pay. You and that little bitch.
All right, that's enough, okay? You crossed the line.
Joey punches him.
Oh, come on, get up, you little punk.
Someone taps him. Bianca punches Joey.
Shit, Bianca, I'm shooting a nose spray ad tomorrow.
That's for making my day bleed. That's for my sister.
She knees him in the groin.
And that's for me.
She pushes him down, then helps Cameron up.
Are you okay?
Never been better.
Their foreheads come together and they kiss. Joey writhes in agony, contorting his body on the ground as people walk around him. You found
hope. Would you give me a chance, sister?
You were paid to take me out by the one person I truly hate. I knew this was a setup.
Kat, it wasn't like that, okay?
Really, what was it like? A down payment now and then a bonus for sleeping with me?
No, I didn't care about the money, okay? I cared about you.
You are so not who I thought you were.
Patrick grabs her face and kisses her. She breaks away and runs off as Patrick looks on. Bianca walks up behind him. Patrick moves slowly to the banister railing. He turns to Bianca, then looks down. At Kat and Bianca's house the next day, Cameron walks up from his parked car. Kat sits on the porch railing, resting against a post as she sketches on a notepad. Bianca walks up holding a mug. Kat takes the mug.
So you sure you don't want to go sailing with us? It'll be fun.
No, I'm fine.
Look, I don't know if I ever thanked you for going last night, but it really meant a lot to me.
I'm glad.
Hey.
Hey.
You ready?
Bye.
Cameron and Bianca leave.
Shit.
I hope so.
Kat watches as they step down the porch. Her dad walks out to her.
Where's your sister going?
She's meeting some bikers. Big ones. Full of sperm.
Funny.
He crosses his arms.
So tell me about this dance. Was it hopping?
Parts of it.
Which parts?
The part where Bianca beat the hell out of some guy.
Bianca did what?
What's the matter? Upset that I rubbed off on her?
No, impressed.
Kat looks up as he sits down next to her.
You know, fathers don't like to admit it when their daughters are capable of running their own lives. It means we've become spectators. Bianca still lets me play a few innings. You've had me on the bench for years.
Kat lets out a breath.
When you go to Sarah Lawrence, I won't even be able to watch the game.
He stares at the ground.
When I go?
He keeps his gaze down.
Oh, boy. Don't tell me you changed your mind. I already sent him a check.
Kat opens her mouth and smiles. She hugs him around the neck, her head resting behind his. Her dad fidgets with his hands, then places them on her arm. At school.
All right. I assume everyone has found time to complete their poem, except for Mr. Dunham, who has an excuse. Chef, lose the glasses.
Joey removes his glasses, revealing a bandaged nose and a black eye.
All right. Anyone brave enough to read theirs aloud?
Kat and the rest of her classmates look around. Patrick sulks, fiddling with his fingers. Kat raises her hand.
I will.
Patrick looks over. The teacher turns away.
Lord, here we go.
She stands up with her sticker-covered notebook in hand and walks to the front of the class, tucking her hair behind her ear.
I hate the way you talk to me and the way you cut your hair. I hate the way you drive my car. I hate it when you stare. I hate your big dumb combat boots and the way you read my mind. I hate you so much it makes me sick. It even makes me rhyme. I hate it. I hate the way you're always right. I hate it when you lie. I hate it when you make me laugh. Even worse, when you make me cry. I hate it when you're not around and the fact that you didn't call. But mostly I hate the way I don't hate you. Not even close. Not even a little bit. Not even at all.
Patrick clutches his hands next to his face as tears well in his eyes. Kat looks at him, her eyes wet and her lips quivering. He looks away as she walks out, holding her head. The students turn from their desks and watch her exit. Patrick lowers his hands and stares. Outside, Kat walks through the parking lot towards her car. She reaches in her bag for her keys as she gets to the door. Kat bends down at the side of the off-white guitar sitting in the driver's seat. She stares open-mouthed, throws her bag in the back, and grabs it. Patrick walks up and smiles.
Nice, huh?
A Fender Strat? Is it for me?
Yeah, I thought you could use it, you know, when you start your band. Besides, I had some extra cash, you know. Some asshole paid me to take out this really great girl.
She smiles.
Is that right?
Yeah, but I screwed up. I fell for her.
Really?
It's not every day you find a girl who'll flash someone to get you out of detention.
Oh, God.
She shuts her eyes and covers them with her hand. Patrick pushes her hair behind her ear and kisses her.
You can't just buy me a guitar every time you screw up, you know.
Yeah, I know. But then, you know, there's always drums and bass and maybe even one day a tambourine.
She smiles and tilts her head back as Patrick goes in for another kiss.
And don't just think you can...
He holds her head and kisses her more. She rests one hand on his cheek and the other on his shoulder. An aerial view shows the couple kissing next to her car as students walk around the parking lot. Another view shows the school with a body of sparkling water behind it. At the top of a tower, Kat's favorite band performs on a stage. Outtakes appear.
No offense. I know everyone digs your sister and all, but she's without.
You know, you're not as vile as I thought you were.
Kat leans in for a kiss. Patrick aggressively grabs her face and pushes her back.
Okay. Let's go!
You just messing with me, aren't you?
No, I'm really looking forward to doing it.
Go see Miss Perky.
What?
Go, Perkies! Go, now.
Once again, Perky now is the second one.
Perkies, now, Perkies, now!
Right away.
Now, Perkies!
Hey.
Now, Perkies now.
Begin the shot.
Bianca, let's go. We're all congregating around Mr. Cuervo.
I'll see you around, okay?
In the party scene, Cameron stares at Bianca as she leaves with Joey. He continues to stare as Michael walks up to him from behind.
Don't worry. There's better for you. And it's right here. Come here. No, I wanted you for so long.
You messed with the wrong guy. Now you're gonna pay. You and that little bitch. All right, that's enough, okay? You cross the line.
Joey punches Cameron.
What, are you kidding me?
I'm driving, so I get to pick the tunes.
And it's my car.
A man lands on the car hood.
I want some coffee!
Michael kisses Mandela. They continue to kiss and sink down.
Could I get a prophylactic?
Let go.
How could you set me up like that?
God, I just wanted
to completely damage me, to send me to therapy forever.
No, I just wanted.
Miss Perky and a guy kiss.
Shall we go to my office?
Too sweet.
Oh my God.
The film has been described by Deluxe with funding by Disney, voice by Ariana Ortiz.